We have a time to hear God's word at this time. I'd like to ask Jonathan to come up.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And it reads, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Good morning. So it's wonderful for us as a church to be part of Cameron Johnson's baptism, the time that his parents and Angela have chosen for him, with his grandmother Lisa Wong and Sherry Costa present, and his godparents Deborah and Justin Chang. We continue to celebrate Cameron and the way he will grow up in faith, and the way we ourselves are reminded of our faith. In this morning's scripture, we hear the Beatitudes as given by Jesus Christ, who also tells us about our faith. But let us pray first. Loving God, I ask that you speak through my words, that they reflect the scriptures, and that you know our reflections. For Lord, we hope that our reflections are acceptable in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer. Amen. So I'm going to say a quote and see if you can finish the quote. It's a quote that JFK, John F. Kennedy, said at his inauguration in 1963. "Ask not what you can do for your country, but what Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." We know that well. Or what about the beginning of this great speech? "I have a dream." Who said that? Martin Luther King. Oh, a lot of smart kids up there. Good job. Yes, Martin Luther King said it on his famous speech on the March on Washington. He said, "I have a dream," multiple times throughout his speech. He even said, "I have a dream that one day our children of our nation will not be judged according to the color of their skin." This speech, this quote, and the quote by Martin Luther King and JFK and others are in our minds, that we learn them in school and we learn things about them. Great quotes teach us things, great quotes inspire us, and great quotes direct us. So when Jesus was speaking on his Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those," over and over many times. I now invite you to turn to the inside of your worship bulletin, and you will see a box on the right-hand side with the Beatitudes. Let us read together the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 10. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." During this season of Lent, as we prepare as a church to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday, I continue to encourage all to be in a time of reflection and repentance. And one way to think about the way that Christ works in your lives is to look at the Beatitudes. So I encourage you daily, if possible, to read the Beatitudes together. And also this morning, we are specifically looking at the fourth Beatitude, the third Beatitude. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." To learn what Jesus said when he was telling his disciples that blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But first, we need to look at the idea of being meek. Sometimes we have a misconception, especially in today's society, that if you say you are meek, it means you are passive. Or if you say you are meek, you have no strength, that you are weak, that you are spineless, that you will let things be imposed upon you, that you are a passive person. To say that you are weak is an undesired quality in today's society. Would you rather be meek or strong? Would you rather be meek or successful? Would you rather be meek or domineering? There are words they use today that makes us think that meek is not a good quality. But we need to know that in the scriptures, Jesus, he himself said that he was a meek person. In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is admitting that he is gentle, that he is humble in heart. He is saying to the people who are listening to him that he himself is a meek person. So we know that in the New Testament, especially in the Greek New Testament, the word meek does appear many times. And when it appears many times in the Greek New Testament, the word meek is used with a Greek term praus, P-R-A-U-S. Praus itself does not mean being passive. It does not mean being weak. It does not mean being easily impressed upon. Instead, praus in Greek means a different thing. It means strength. It means strength brought under control. They say that the ancient Greeks used this word praus often to describe a wild horse that they were needing to tame to be able to use for work. And the wildness of the horse was tamed and then be able to be controlled so he could do work for the people. So when Jesus says be meek, he is saying be strength under control. He is telling us that yes, we need to have inner strength, but then we can also be controlled. And the reason he says we need to be controlled is because we want to serve God. We are weak because we are able to be controlled, and we're able to have the strength to serve God. And from this passage, we can also be inspired. And from this passage, we can also be taught. And from this passage, we can also be directed, just as famous quotes throughout history inspire and direct and teach us. When Jesus says to the people, "Blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the kingdom," he is teaching them that you, yes, must be meek, but strong in spirit and able to be controlled and obey God's will. He is telling the people who are often fighting, who are often seeking power, who are often worshiping other idols, to not do those things, but instead to be submissive to God. And it is not then a bad thing to be meek or weak or submissive, but to learn instead how to fully obey God and serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. One great example of someone who did that was Moses. For we know Moses himself was sometimes considered a weak person. He had a great upbringing growing up in the Pharaoh's household, but then he denied that upbringing and left that home. And then he was a sort of just a simple rancher for many years, taking care of the flock. So then you would think, why? Why would God choose this person? This person who was adopted into Pharaoh's household, this person who killed someone and left Pharaoh's household for a good justice issue, but this person then who just chose to live a simple life as a rancher. But God specifically chose Moses, someone who would have been seen as passive, someone who would have been seen as weak, someone who would have been seen as someone who could easily be controlled. We hear in the words of Numbers chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, that people were wondering about Moses, but Moses himself was a humble person, more humble than anyone they say on the face of the earth. And the Lord suddenly said to Moses, to Aaron and Miriam, people who had been questioning Moses, to told them to come out, and he said to them that, "Hear my words. There are many prophets among you, and I, the Lord, make myself known to the prophets in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not so with Moses, my servant. He is entrusted with all my house, and to Moses I speak face to face, directly, not in riddles, not in dreams, and he beholds the form of the Lord." Moses was meek, and he submitted to God's will, and God's will was shown directly to him. In our own lives, we need to be meek and to let go of control, to not say our will, but God's will. And I know that is easier said than done, because we are our own personalities, sometimes wanting to be controlling. I remember always playing in middle school those magic 8-balls. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was like a larger version of an 8-ball cube from the pool game. And you would shake that magic 8-ball on you, and it would ask it a special question. "Magic 8-ball, will I get an A on my history exam?" And then it would show an answer in the bottom of the circle. And it would say, "Not answerable now," or "yes," or maybe, or not likely so, or no. And whenever I would ask a question, magic eight ball, will I pass this history test? And it would say maybe. I didn't like that answer. So I'd shake it again and ask the same question again. And then it would say no, and I didn't like that answer. So I'd shake it again and shake it again until I got yes. Or yes, definitely, right? Some of the more positive answers. I was trying to control what would happen in my life. I was not letting what first appeared before me happen. We ourselves need to stop trying to control things. We ourselves need to stop trying to make things our way. We ourselves have to let go and trust God. So when Jesus tells the people to be meek, he is telling them to give up their own strong will, but instead take on the will of God, to be able to be submissive and controlled by God. But then you are also strong, because it is harder to give up our own sense of control. It actually takes strength to let things happen according to God's will instead of trying to force our own will. We are called to be weak and not try to take our chances over and over again and change our destiny and ignore God's will for us. Because then when we do that, then we will inherit the earth. And this is a wonderful inheritance. They say that God is the owner of the earth. We know in Genesis God created the earth, and then he also created man in his own image. All the beauty of creation is made possible because God created these things. He is the owner, the controller, the possessor of the earth. And then they say that we, when we obey Christ and we become children of God, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, just as Cameron's family did so on his behalf this morning, Cameron is a beautiful child of God. And you might think, well, Cameron's just a little boy. Cameron, how old are you? 4? So can a 4-year-old go to work yet? No. Right, Cameron? No. You might want to, but... Can a 4-year-old go into the grocery store and buy his own groceries to make his meal? No, not yet, right? Can a 4-year-old go travel on a plane by himself to visit another country? Not yet. So a 4-year-old, yes, might be considered meek in many people's eyes and not be able to do many things, but a 4-year-old can have such power. I had the wonderful opportunity to visit Cameron and his sister Madeline and his parents at their home, and I discovered many wonderful, strong things about Cameron. Do you know Cameron can help his mom make a really delicious strawberry cake? Good job, Cameron. And did you know Cameron is able to jump, cover your ears, grandmothers, jump from the 3rd or 4th step of the stairway onto the beanbag on the floor? He's a strong kid. He flew far. And did you know Cameron has a great, strong singing voice? You have to ask him to sing one of his favorite songs, John Denver's Country Road song. He sang it for me, and he had to put a blanket over his head, but he sang it loud and proud. He's got a strong voice. Jesus is teaching us that even the meek, the children, the widows of the society, the ones that are seen as the lesser, those who are lame or physically unable, were not meek, but could be strong as well. Jesus is teaching us that when you accept Christ, we all become God's children. And as God's children, we inherit God's creation. We inherit this beautiful earth that God created. And then when you have and receive an inheritance, don't you want to take care of what you have inherited? I know myself, when my grandmother passed away, she passed on many things to myself and the cousins, and I was lucky enough to receive a beautiful jade bracelet that my grandmother always wore. And I don't wear that bracelet out in public because I'm afraid of breaking it, but I wanted to stay protected. And on special family occasions, I'll sometimes wear that jade bracelet because I honor and I treasure it. It is something that I inherited from my grandmother. And we ourselves, as Christ's children, as children of God, need to honor and be blessed with what God gives us. We inherit the earth. We inherit his kingdom. We want to make that kingdom possible here on earth. To love one another, to be kind, to help the children, to help the widows, to help those who are physically unable, to treat each other and love one another as we love ourselves. So then we can be meek in God's eyes, but strong in faith and submissive to his and his will for us, and that we can love one another and make this wonderful earth and world that we inherit a beautiful place, just as we know that in our own eventual passing, we will be at God's side, at the beautiful kingdom with the Lord that we will also inherit. So I continue to encourage you to think about the ways that you are blessed, to see the Beatitudes that Jesus gave us, to be meek in spirit, but strong in faith, and inherit the earth that God gave and created for us. Let us pray. On this wonderful Sunday, as we have celebrated the baptism of Cameron, and together we will soon take in the part of communion, we remember Christ and his words to the disciples, and the way he taught, the way he directed, and the way he inspired. And Lord, we ask that we remember as we break the bread and drink the juice and share with each other communion, that we remember the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for us, so that we, yes, may be meek, but know your will for us and inherit the earth, your kingdom here. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Hear these words of invitation. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law, and we have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remain steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church and throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry for all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Our communion table in the Methodist Church is open for all who are able to come. We invite you to come forward now as you are able.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him.
It's time to sing your song.
worship your holy name. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is.
Pray. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Son of God, whose body was broken on the cross for us, whose blood was shed for us. Let us today remember this great sacrifice, the forgiveness of our sins made possible for all the world, as we continue to follow you, as we pray.